Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Lord, just ask that you bless all the mothers out there today. God, I ask that you help us to be free in our worship, open, and we give you what you deserve, Lord. Just all of our praise, all of our thanks. Thank you so much for what your son did on the cross for us. And Lord, the word we receive today, let it make a change in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
How many of you know that a lot of times in the battle is exactly where he's at? But sometimes because we're so distracted, we don't see that he's right there with us. Human nature is to try to fix everything all the time. Because when something comes near you, I gotta fix it. When my finances are low, I gotta figure this out. When something's happening, it's this constant focus on just what's happening. But God's trying to change the church to realize that walking in the kingdom means looking above all of that and understanding that he's in every single battle.
Amen.
That before it even got to you, he prepared it. He prepared a way for you. That he set the pieces up perfectly so that when you hit that battle, you would have every single tool you needed in every single moment.
Amen.
Come on. It's a blessing, is what it is. It's a blessing knowing that every storm, every single thing that happens, that he's already given you victory. That he's already given you an abundance of every single thing you need.
Amen.
Woo. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I just love that it's something that my dad and I have talked about several times. It did not look like their situation was changing. They were going into a fire regardless. And we have two ways of thinking, right? One, we could be thinking, this is it, we're done. I'm walking in there and God, I don't know, you've not showed up yet. Or we could choose, just like they did, to be like, I'm walking in that fire because I know what you have said. I know what you have promised, and I know that you will protect me in the fire. If it wasn't for the fact that they could look at things in a way that was just with faith, that was so strong, these moments are powerful for a reason. They're not only powerful to the people around us, right? Because God called you to be the light of the earth, right? And to be the salt as well. Those things happen as he comes through in your life. They really do. And it's exactly what happened with them. It was a powerful moment, not just for them, but for everybody around them. That the God they served was real. And that it didn't matter what the circumstances looked like or what was happening, he was with them in the fire. And it's the same exact thing. Nothing has changed now. It's the same exact thing for you in every single thing you do, in every place you're in your life, in every single storm, in every single situation, in every high, every low. He is in it with you through it all. And it is important. It is important for the church to realize that this is where you become set apart, is coming up to moments in your life where the flesh and everything else would tell you, this is what you need to do, and putting the Spirit before you and saying, this is what I'm gonna do. Because regardless of what I want and what I feel, I know what you've given me, and I'm gonna stand on it. Woo, church, this is where you begin to become exactly what it's where that to rise up in the earth. It really does. Because now you are walking exactly in everything that He's given you. This course, and I just want to encourage you, if you're going through something this morning, know that you have victory already. And let's just give Him praise through the moment. You really can, right? You can choose. When I'm in the middle of the battle, you can choose to either complain and be upset, or you can choose to worship Him through everything that's happening. Because you know that what He's giving you is true. What He's promised you, He's gonna do. You just gotta stand on it. Woo! Hallelujah.
Good morning, church.
Good morning. Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. You know, God's greatest treasure to man is a godly woman.
Thank
so
you.
If you have a wife next to you,
hallelujah, Jesus,
that's your treasure.
Praise
and you should treasure her because that's a gift. That's a special gift from God.
Amen.
Come on. And Adam and Eve, when they were in the Garden of Eden, right, they had the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah.
And when they ate of that tree, they lost their God consciousness. And they got self-consciousness. You know, they said, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm naked. I'm hiding from you, God. And He says, and when people start looking inwardly, you're not walking in faith.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when God says, if you walk in faith, you're like a magnet. You attract the favor of God. You attract the blessings of God. You attract all the good things in your life. But when you walk in denial of that faith, if you look introspectively, if you look inwardly, you're looking at all the problems. You'll never find perfection looking in. You're going to find your perfection when we walk looking toward the Lord.
Come on.
Okay?
Amen. Praise God, Randy.
You know? And
preach it, bro.
King David, he was a murderer, adulterer. And you know what? A lot of us here would say, we never did that. But he was a man after God's own heart. And God says, I love David because he believes in me. God called righteousness believing in him.
Yeah.
So
right.
Today, God wants us to change our mindset and not worry, like Tommy said, not worry about all the little things here. But come, you're a child of a king.
That's right. Come on.
You know, what flows in you is the great I am. The river of life flows in you, and it's not limited. God says, come to Him, to His throne, and that river of life, He wants to flow out of you to where you will touch everybody that you come in contact with. But it's when you take your eyes off you and see your imperfections and say, God, I'm nothing, but I know I'm royalty. And watch what God can do in your life. So all you mothers out there, you are the best prize, the treasure of this earth.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I know some of you praise the Lord. You're crazy. You think, because I jump a little bit. I bet a lot of you do a lot more than that.
Oh, yeah.
Just don't want to do it here, huh? Yeah, this is how I pray. I jump. One day I was at a church. We were in a theater in Tucson, off of Cotero Farms Road. There was a theater that we were having church in, and so they put me at the door that morning. And at the the band was playing, and I'm standing outside. I'm supposed to be handing out tracts, or not tracts, but bulletins. And somehow I've got a hold of my pant leg
and I'm jumping up and down, and I'm spinning around out there. And when I stopped and turned around, some people would come around, they're just looking at me like, I had to go, come on in. I think they wanted to leave, but they came in anyway, man. But that's just me. That's how I praise the Lord. I love to get excited about Jesus. How many say amen? I mean, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. How many say amen? I'm not ashamed. And I will, I mean, hey, like David said, man, he told his wife, he says, you know, I'll become even more vile than this, man, because I'm worshiping my Lord, my King. How many say amen? Amen. Hey, you know, it would be probably good if some of us would probably head for Safeway and just have, you guys have seen those, what do they call them, flash mob or whatever, man? Boom, all of a sudden, hey, somebody walk in and music changes to boom, and a bunch of us just start dancing in the, what do you guys think? You guys ready to do that today? Let's go do that for Mother's Day. That'd be okay. I think it'd be fun myself. How do you say amen to that? I think it'd be really cool. Praise the Lord. Well, like Randy said, happy Mother's Day. And, oh, yeah. If anybody has a testimony about their mom, a short testimony they want to give, come on up and just tell us a little bit about your mom if you want. But I'm going to tell you a little bit about my mom. My mom was, she loved the Lord. My mom spent most of her time in the house making tortillas and working at the Dairy Queen. Yeah, so it was the best of both worlds. Yeah. I mean, at the Dairy Queen, she couldn't really give us anything, but they would have mistakes. They would, if they would make a cone, it had to be like 7 ounces. She put it on the scale, 9 ounces. I'll take this home to Frankie, my brother. Oh, 8 ounces. I'll take this one to Henry. Yeah, so we got free ice cream most of the time, but they came in the form of a mistake. Is that okay? How many know you're not a mistake? How many know that God loves you? Is that right? Moms, God loves you. My mom had, you guys ever heard of Buddy Hackett? I took this from him, but anyway, and it's just like my mom. My mom had 2 things for dinner. You guys know that, remember that? My mom always had 2 things for dinner, and it was take it or leave it. That was my mom saying too. You don't want it, leave it. But that's all you're getting, amen? So we probably took it most of the time. My mom was, in order to keep me and my brother busy in Bisbee. You ever been to Bisbee? Beautiful town. I tell my kids it is the vacation capital of the world, so that's where we go. Cheap, real cheap. Anyway, Bisbee, my mom, in order to keep my brother busy, she made us clean all the time. We'd rake outside, clean inside the house. We'd do all sorts of stuff. What I love about my mom was she was always, every time we did something, that's the best job. I'm so glad I have you guys. I couldn't hire somebody better than you guys, you know. And we always, you know, it probably wasn't all that great. I didn't like doing the bathrooms at that time, but I love it now. I mean, you guys, come on, man. But my mom taught us to, I mean, just to be tidy and clean and stuff. So, and I appreciate my mom for that because she put something within me that really has helped in this church and in my life is, how many know that God is a God of order? Is that right? He loves order. I mean, every star out there, it's in the same place it's always been. How many say amen? The moon, the stars, all those things. God is a God of order. And so he's been really talking to me a lot about order, talking to me a lot about his blessing coming upon the body of Christ when you place your life in order. How many of you know God doesn't want you taking little excursions into things you shouldn't be doing? How many know that? How many take excursions? No, quit doing that. Amen. I want to say, stop. Stop now. Yeah, hallelujah. Because I will say, we've been preaching in this church that the kingdom of God is, God is releasing the kingdom into the earth. How many say amen? This kingdom operates in a certain way. Can you say amen? This kingdom operates in the will of God. That's what it operates in. Not the will of man, but the will of God. And so finding God and finding that place that he has for you and walking in that place he has for you is so important. Amen.
Amen.
So I would ask you this morning just to ask the Lord, say, Lord, what place do you have for me? Lord, what do you have for me? He's got so much for you. But this morning we're going to talk a little bit about moms. The title of the sermon was The Believing Mom. How many believing moms? Yeah? Yeah. My mom was a believing mom. She believed in Christ. We were raised Catholic. But my mom, she loved God, and she was a praying mom. She loved to tell us, "Hey, if there's anything you need to know, is that you know that you, though your dad is dead, you have a father." How many say amen? My father was my father in heaven. Hallelujah. My dad had passed away, but I had a father. So she was a good mom. And we're going to read today about a mom that might seem a little bit shady. This lady might have felt like she might have been a little bit deceptive towards her husband and then her son. So if you will, let's go to Genesis. Hallelujah. Try to get you out early so that, because you know what? I'm going to tell you, the restaurants are going to fill up today. How many say amen? Yeah. How many are going to the restaurant today? Anybody? Nobody. Good. Okay. 5 o'clock, we'll get out. All right. Nobody wants to go to the restaurant. We're good, man. Yeah. He says, you will pay. Praise God. Yeah. Praise God. I'm going to try to get you out early. Yeah. Genesis chapter 25. I'm going to start at verse 19. Glory to God. A story about Rebecca. Hey, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Father, I'm asking you, God, that you would touch every mom this morning, Father. If anything, Lord, strengthen them. Strengthen them by your Spirit, Lord. Father, they have a mighty work, and they're doing a great work. Father, I know they are, Lord. I ask you, Father, that you would strengthen all the moms. And Father, everybody that hears my voice today, Father, whether it be here or on the internet, Father God, I ask you, Lord, that you would strengthen and build your body. Father, we thank you for your word. Without your word, we can do nothing. Without Jesus, we can do you nothing. So, Father, we thank you for it. Lord, quicken my mouth. Father, in Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Starting at verse 19, it says this. This is the genealogy of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. Now, Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, recovered. Isn't that cool? Amen. They wanted kids. She was barren, so Isaac went to the Lord and said, Lord, would you please give us children? And the Lord heard him and gave him, she conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. Hallelujah. This morning as I was thinking about this scripture, I love where Rebecca went to inquire of God. She's got something going on with it. And it's, you know that this is the first recorded twins? You know that? Yeah, in the scriptures, this is the first time it was anything. She had twins. And so she's struggling with this. The boys are in there kicking away. How many say amen? Both wanting to, one guy wanted to hunt deer and the other one wanting to I don't know, get him out of the way, I guess. So they're fighting within her. There's a little struggle happening between these two kids. And so she goes and she asked the Lord, and she says, why am I like this? Why am I thus? She went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, two nations are within thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people. The elder shall serve the younger. Is that right? The elder shall serve the younger. And when their days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all over like a hairy garment. Oh, boy. That's cute. And they called his name Opie. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Just a little, whatever. They called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob, heel grabber. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. That's 60 years old. The boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter and a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man. How many are plain men? Plain man. Well, Jacob was a plain man dwelling in the tents. Hallelujah. Amen? I love it. I will say that Rebecca was a woman of God, wouldn't you say? She didn't ask her husband what was going on within her. She went to the Lord and said, God, I need to know what's going on inside of me. What's happening? And the Lord told her. The Lord told her. The Lord didn't tell Isaac, did he? He told her. So I'm wondering if she probably went to Isaac a little bit and said, hey, you know what? The Lord said that I got two nations within me. All right, whatever that means. And he goes, one's going to serve the other. Okay. And then she said, the older will serve the younger. And I can imagine Isaac saying, no, not correct. The oldest is over the younger. So she, nevertheless, I believe she held it in her heart. But I'll bet how many of you know that she'd tell Jacob every once in a while, guess what? Because the Bible says that Isaac loved Esau because he was a hunter. And Rebekah loved Jacob. So I'll bet she told Jacob every once in a while when dad would get up and say, come on, Esau, let's go out into the field. Hey, what am I? Come on, Dad. How you stay in the tent with your mom? What? Stay in the tent with your mom. I bet mom would tell her, hey, you know what? Don't worry. You're going to rule your brother. Mom, what are you talking about? My dad don't like me. I don't know what's going on. I mean, this is not in Scripture, but I would say that it might have happened. How many say amen? Because the Scripture said that Isaac favored his older son, Esau, which is okay. But I want to go to Genesis chapter 27. It says this, starting at verse 1, it came to pass that Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see. He called Esau his oldest son and said to him, my son. And he said, behold, I am here. Here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old. I know not the days of my death. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison and make me some pottage, savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spoke to Esau, her son. And Esau went out to the field to hunt for venison and brought it and bring it. And Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat, bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Excuse me. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. go now to the flock, fetch me from there two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loves, and thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat and may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. I am a smooth man. How many are smooth men? Smooth. I'm smooth, yeah. Hey, my brother is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. Are they deceiving me? Yeah, they are. What do you mean he'll seem to you? Bro, you're deceiving your dad. And I will bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. How many of you would rather have a curse or a blessing? What do you want? Blessing. What would you rather have? Same with Jacob. I don't want a curse. Mom, are you sure, Mom? His mother said, upon me be that curse, my son. Obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mom, to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father loves. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her oldest son, Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. I don't think he was so smooth now, was he? I'm a smooth man. Well, now you got this goat hair hanging off of your arms, around your neck, and you got your brother's jacket on. You smell like the open field. I don't know what that might smell like. Does anybody know what an open field smells like? Yeah. It might smell like daisies, or it might smell like cow poop. Who knows? Yeah, I don't know. But it smells, amen? She gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came to his father and said, my father, and he said, I am here. Who art thou, my son? Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, and sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless thee. I'm sure that Jacob might have been even trying to hide his voice. And Isaac said to him, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God has brought it to me. You liar. Come on, man. Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether you be my very son Esau or not. Uh-oh, here comes the test, amen? And Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice. Okay, here we go. Now the father's getting a little taste of, man, something's going on here. The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not because his hands were hairy and his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him and said, art thou my very son Esau? Wow. Can you imagine Jacob's heart? Man, dad. Can you figure some guilt maybe coming on him by now? He says, are you my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him and he ate. And he brought him wine and he drank. And his father Isaac said to him, come near and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment. And oh, and blessed him, sorry. And blessed him. Sorry, I was just looking at that last word. And And he blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, God give thee. Here comes the blessing, amen? How many of you know the blessing was important to these folks? The blessing was from the father, from the patriarch, was a blessing that, I mean, was valuable to the sons and the daughters. And it was like almost like the will coming from their father. And so it was very important to them. So here it comes. He says, therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Amen? Telling his son, let people serve thee and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brethren, your brothers, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Isn't that crazy? Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be everyone that blesses thee. It came to pass that as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. That thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said to him, who are you? Amen. Who art thou? And he said, I am your son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that has taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten all before you came, and I have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, my father. And he said, thy brother came in with subtlety and has taken away your blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. The first time he supplanted him, Esau had come in from the field, and Jake was cooking tacos, salsa and chips. But he was hungry, man. He goes, hey, man, I've been walking around chasing deer all day, man. Give me some of your food. It was a stew. Pottage. He goes, hey, give me some of your food. And Jacob knew the value of the birthright. And like I say, I'm sure that Jacob's mom had told him, you're going to rule over your brother. Do you know that? At this time, these two boys were probably around 15 is what is estimated. 15 years old. Esau was so hungry that he said, what good is this birthright to me? To God, that's what? There's a scripture, it says, you'll find that in Jeremiah and Isaiah, it says, Esau I have hated. Not so much that God hates anybody, but that his actions were contrary to God. He said, what good is this birthright, man? Just give me the food. Just let me eat. So Jacob said, all right, swear to me you're going to give me that it's my birthright. He said, okay, it's your birthright. Food. So he ate. So now, here Esau is crying out to his dad. He says, this guy has done it twice to me. He took the birthright. And now, he's taking my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said to Esau, behold, I have made him your Lord. That's nice blessing, isn't it? Guess what? I made him your Lord. I have done it. The words of my... See, people, folks, you got to understand that. When these folks, they believe, and we should believe this too, that your words, the words that you speak are very important to you. The words that come out of your mouth They can kill or they can make alive. How many say amen? That's what the Word of God says. And these folks believe this. He said, behold, I've made him your Lord, and his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now to you, my son? And Esau said to his father, have you not just one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, thy dwelling shall be in the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword thou shalt live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass that thou shalt have the dominion. When thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. I want to stop right there just for a minute. How many of you know that Esau was upset? Is that right? He was angry. Anybody ever been angry? Nobody. Raise your hand if you've ever been angry. I'm going to say that again. Raise your hand if you've ever been angry. Most everybody should have. Esau was angry. And his father tells him this. Isaac is old. He doesn't quite die right away, but he's old. It's estimated that Esau and Jacob at this time are over 40 years old. How many say that? Is that crazy? When Jacob went after the blessing. Over 40. These guys are grown men. Amen? They're not little kids. They were 15 when he lost his birthright, when Esau lost his birthright. But here they're over 40. And Esau is asking his father, please bless me. And his father tells him, can you back up just a minute? On one, the scripture before it says, you shall serve your brother, and it shall come to pass when you shall have the dominion. What is his dad talking about? His dad is talking to him about taking that anger and turning it off, having dominion over the anger and the hatred that he has for his brother. He says, you shall break his yoke from off your neck. Can I tell you this, folks? God got a hold of me on this one. I said, man, if you're holding anything at all against any of your brothers, anything against your sisters, anything against the President of the United States, anything against the Secretary of State, what's her name? If you're holding anything in your heart against anybody, you need to take the dominion over that. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? God says that you need to love your neighbor. He says you need to love your enemies. Is that crazy? Is that okay? Because, folks, listen, this is the kingdom way. This is the way of the kingdom. Yeah, but I hate that guy. Yeah, well, God says, no, it's time to change that. How many say amen? You can't hold hatred. You can't hold it. It's not part of the kingdom. You're part of the kingdom. Do you understand that? Do you understand that God is instructing us that we have to pay attention to what the kingdom looks like? Is that okay? All right, hold on. We're going to leave that alone. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Amen? Hallelujah. And Esau hated his brother Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, and I will slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. Hey, he's planning to kill Jacob. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, proposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days, until thy brother's fury turn away, and until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which you have done to him. Who did it? Come on, Mom. Man, who did it? We did it. Yeah. For what you have done to him, and I will send and fetch thee from there. Why should I be deprived also of both of you in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I'm weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these, which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do to me? And she sent him away. She used that as an excuse to get her son out of there. Crafty lady, amen? Would you say, I mean, the Bible never says she was a good mom. How many say amen to that? It doesn't say that in there, does it? But she had something that God had given her. Do you understand that? She was holding on to a promise. How many say that? So that what she did was because of a promise that God had made to her. This elder is going to serve the younger. So she spoke that to her son. And then she said, I want you to do this. How many of you know the Bible tells us that we're to honor our parents? Is that right? Can you put up Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1? Or all four verses? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. How many say amen? That's a pretty weak amen, I would say. Man, today, folks, I'm going to tell you what. Today, if any time, if there's ever a time in our world today, kids need to be listening to their moms and dads. How many say amen to that? Yeah, okay, that's a weak one too, but we'll go by that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. How many say amen? Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with thee, and you may live long on the earth. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Sometimes dads get a little, never mind. We'll leave that. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen? What does the nurture and admonition of the Lord mean? Does that mean take your kids to church? No, not at all. And we have used this scripture to say, well, we got to take my kids to church because I want them brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Folks, listen, the nurture and admonition comes from the parents. How many say amen to that? The parents are to be seeking the Lord, like Rebecca saw. People say, hey, what's going on here? You know, the parents need to be seeking the Lord. And what the Lord tells you, that's what you transfer to your children. Is that okay? That's the nurture. That's the admonition that God wants to give your kids. How many say amen? When does it end? Doesn't. You can admonish and speak to your kids anytime. How many of you have that freedom to do that today? Not many. Hey, isn't it good when kids will say, yeah, okay, you know, I will listen to you. Isn't that good? The admonition comes from the Lord. But what I want to just focus is that Rebecca believed God. How many believe God? Does anybody here believe God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Paul was preaching in Antioch in a synagogue of the Jews, he said he was kind of giving he was talking about the life of Jesus. He was telling them about Jesus. And so I want to bring up Acts chapter 13, verses 38 through 31. It says, be it known to you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. How many believe God for the forgiveness of sins? How many believe that he has washed away all of your sins? Is that true? How many know that when he died on a cross for you and you gave your heart to him, he washed every sin that's out of your life? How many say amen to that? Do you believe that? Do you believe it? Do you know that he washed everything that you do? Let's say you get angry next, or you're unforgiving to somebody 2 months from now. Do you have to go back and tell the Lord God, will you please forgive me? You do. You should say that, Lord, forgive me. But should you say for sin? Because God knows the end from the beginning. Is that okay? He knows from the beginning what the end looked like. So the same, the beginning of your life, he knows what the ending is looking like, going to look like. How many say amen? So he knows everything that happened in between. That's just who he is. He knows. So he could die for your sins, even the ones you might not have done yet. Is that okay? He doesn't call them sins. He calls them over. They are done. How many say amen to that? You have been bought with a price. The blood of Jesus that washes you from all sin. Is that okay? Do you believe it?
Amen.
Do you believe it?
Yeah, yes.
He has made you whole and complete. Do you believe it? He has healed you by his stripes. Do you believe it? Do you believe it?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Here's what he said. Be it known to you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from what? From what? All things. That blood that was shed for you justifies you for everything. From which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. How many say amen to that? How many know that you can't live up to the law? Is that right? There are people today that are trying to live up to the law. Is that right? Do you know that? There's folks out there that are trying to live up to the law, and you just can't. You have to trust Jesus. Is that right? You just can't do it. The law does not profit those. It's not profitable to us. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Yeah. Well, it says the law. He said, beware therefore lest that come upon you as spoken of the prophets. Behold, you despisers and wonder and perish. I work a work in your days which you shall in no wise what? Believe, right? Though a man declare it to you. Even though you might have five pastors or five apostles or whatever speaking to a word in the earth, some folks just aren't gonna believe it. Is that all right? How many believers? Do you believe God? How many do you believe God? Hallelujah. Oh man, Romans chapter 8. How many like this chapter? This is probably one of my favorite chapter that has so many powerful verses, but I love the whole Bible. Amen? Praise God. Here's Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. How many say amen to that? Now there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Is that right? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How many of you walk after the Spirit? If you've given your heart to the life, Jesus dwells in your heart, whether you believe it or not, whether you believe it or not, you're walking after the Spirit. But what if I'm doing things that are wrong? Well, you need to work on that. How many say amen? How many know when the Holy Spirit dwells in you, that when you do something that's contrary to him and the kingdom, you know it? How many say amen to that? If you don't know it, I would say maybe you didn't give your heart to Jesus. Amen? Because your heart will convict you. The Holy Ghost will talk to you. He'll say, no, man, you shouldn't be doing that. Tell your wife you're sorry. No, I ain't going to tell her nothing. Tell your wife you're sorry. No. Come on, man. Amen? The Holy Spirit is good about this. Amen?
Yeah.
He's good about talking to you. If you won't listen during the daytime, he'll talk to you at night. Amen? He'll give you dreams. Amen?
Yeah.
Come on, man. How many ever had a dream from God? Ooh, come on. I've had some dreams. I go, oh, boy, I know what you're talking about. Okay, God, I get it. Hallelujah. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit, listen to this, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Do you see that there's two laws that he's talking about here? Number one, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. And the other law is the law of sin and death. I will ask you again, do you believe God? Which one do you want? The law of spirit of life or the law of sin and death? Which one? Which one do you want to walk in? For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own son, the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin. So Jesus comes for a dual purpose. You see that? For what he came to do, what the law could not do. What could the law not do? In Hebrews chapter 10, he says the law could not make you perfect. Is that right? What the law could not do, it could not make you perfect. Jesus, go back. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. How many know that Jesus had no sin? Is that right? How many know that he had, did that? According to Romans, where it says the wages of sin is death, that Jesus could not die. How many know that? No. Do you know it?
Amen.
Why couldn't Jesus die? Why could Jesus not die? He had no sin. The wages of sin is death. So Jesus could not die. But how many know he died? Why did he die? Why did he die? Because he took your sin on him. So death came to him naturally. See, he's spiritual, but death came on him naturally because of our sin. Yours, my sin. Everything that we've done that's contrary to who he is, he put it on him. He took it to the cross, took it to the grave. And the Father said, that's enough. Come on out. And he raised him back up. And the Bible says it's for your justifications, because so you can be justified before God, so that you can walk into God's presence and say, God, here I am. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get rid of this thing that's bothering me, but God, would you please help me to do this? You've got clear access into the kingdom. How many say amen to that? You got clear access into the throne room of God right there. Do you know that as a Christian, you are being judged right now? Do you know it? Do you understand that? The judgment is at the end, but that's for them. The judgment that God brings you into is his spirit comes to judge you, and you walk into the throne room, and there are thrones of judgment there, and you say, God, would you help me? And God, oh yeah, you bet I'll help you. Because that's what he wants to do. He wants to build you and strengthen you. Folks, you got to understand that you're in judgment right now. The Holy Ghost has come to cleanse the temple. Do you know that? You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. His temple is going to be pure. How many say amen to that? If you listen, he'll clean it. How many say amen? I remember telling my son, you know what, son, clean your room. Go in there, it looked clean, but everything was jammed under the bed. The bed was humped up. I said, man, that's not clean, man. If you listen, he will clean it. How many say amen to that? When God says something to you, respond to it. Say, Lord, help me. I'll do it. He came to do what the law could not do. And he says, and for sin. As a byproduct, he said, I took sin away. See, sin's not an issue with you. What's an issue with us? Can I tell you what our issues are most of the time? We don't want to let this old man die. We want to keep resurrecting that old boy. Is that right? How many know that's not good? Quit resurrecting the old man. Let him stay dead. Amen? Because when he comes up every time, it stinks, right? Because you know, you feel it, you know it. Oh, that's the old man. And I hate the way it is. I hate the way I acted. I hate the way I thought. I hate the way I spoke, whatever, because it was the old man. Amen? He stinks. Amen? Let him stay dead. Don't resurrect him. Because God is bringing a kingdom. Look at this. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. I was taught that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, that righteousness is the Ten Commandments in the law, that it's already fulfilled, because Jesus fulfilled the law but he's not talking about that. He's talking about the righteousness of the law of the Spirit. See, he told us, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He doesn't want the law of sin and death being fulfilled in you. He wants the law of the Spirit to be fulfilled in you. This was the design from the beginning. When God created the heavens and the earth and he placed man in the garden, this was the plan all the time, that man would walk in the Spirit and would take dominion and subdue this earth. Is that okay? Praise God. That's what we're called to do. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful thing. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen? John chapter 1 verse 4 says this. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. See, it's the law of the Spirit of life. Life. Everybody say life.
Life.
I'm going to say this to you, and some of you won't get it. Some of you are not going to like it. Some of you say, well, that guy is crazy. You don't have to die. Death doesn't have to come on you, because the fact is that you have been given eternal life. What is eternal life? It's life abundant. See, but a lot of you are going to say, well, wait a minute, brother. Yeah, I believe that's spiritual. But we're talking about this fleshly thing here. Well, that's what was in the garden, this fleshly thing here. God made it out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into it, and he gave it the breath of life. Amen?
Amen.
Now it was to live forever. God didn't design it to die. Why would he design something, put life in it, to die? Why? No reason, because he didn't. He didn't design it to die. Sin caused that. The wages of sin is death. The Bible says in Proverbs, you can read it all over, it says, righteousness delivers from sin, from death. Righteousness delivers from death. Is that okay? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Do you believe him? This is a thing. Don't believe me. Hey, you can call me whatever you want to call me. You can call me crazy. You can call me cracked. You can call me whatever. But let me just say this to you. There is a generation that's coming. God told his son Jesus, sit here at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The last enemy to be defeated is death. Find it in the scriptures. Look at it and see what it's saying. Because the body of Christ in the earth, the kingdom of God in the earth is going to overwhelm and overtake all these things. The kingdom will subdue. The kingdom will take dominion. Do you know that? Hallelujah. Hey, so it's important to God that you believe him, not me. Don't believe me. These things I'm saying to you, take them and go look at them. Because I can be wrong. But I have taken this word to God. I have taken the things that he's told me. I said, Lord, but your word says, you're telling me that I don't have to die. But Lord, your word says that it's given unto every man wants to die. And the Holy Spirit said, yeah, exactly. And I said, well, I don't understand. He said, Henry, it says in Galatians, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. It is not I that live, but Christ lives in me. See, you died. You've already died. You've already died. Look at your neighbor, say, you're already dead. That's a weird thing to say, huh? Sounds kind of mean, huh? You're already dead. But Christ is resurrecting you. By every time you receive a word from him, there's a new portion of life that comes within you. Do you understand that? God is doing a work. There is a generation coming that's going to walk in these things where death will have, I mean, it's just going to be just like Jesus when he walked. How many of you know that death had no part of him? How many of you know that he scared death to hell. Well, what do you think of that? Sorry about that. But how many know that death had nothing on him? He had a mindset that said, no, man, I've got nothing. You've got nothing on me, but I've got something on you. You're going down. I'm gonna pull the keys back from you, and I'm gonna turn it over to my kingdom. See, it's been a while, but I've been saying, God, will you release me to speak these things to the church? And he said, I'll give it to you in little bits, little bits, little bits. He says, because how many of you know it takes seed to be buried and to be watered? See, we've been walking. Baby, Rosie, where are you, babe? Are you around? Where's my wife? Where's she? In the nursery? Come here, Becca. Come here. Sorry. I'll use you. Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. You see, we've been walking with death. How many say amen to this? How many know this? We've been walking with death. We'll call me death, okay?
Okay.
All right. We've been walking with death. And we've been expecting death to come our way. Knock, knock, knock. Oh, is that you, death? But see, there has to happen something that when you believe in the Lord, when you realize that in him is life. Let me just say this. Life is as opposite as death is, as darkness is from light. It's as opposite as hot is from cold. It's as opposite as righteousness and sin. Death is opposite. And God is saying that to no longer hold on to these thoughts that you have to die because he already paid for you. What you need to do is throw my hand away like you mean it. Yeah. And then push me like you mean it. Get that. And that's exactly, I mean, oh, thank you. That's good. Thank you, man. Well, she pushed me hard. I almost broke my neck. Folks, can I just say this to you? Don't believe me. Go to the Word of God and look for yourself. Because death has been defeated. Jesus said it. Isaiah says it this way. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is your victory? You got no victory. Jesus defeated death at the cross. And there's no reason for you to walk hand in hand with it anymore. You see what? You would say to me, but thousands of people have died. Thousands of good Christians. Yeah, but maybe, like I said, Lord, will you let me speak these things? You got to seed them first. You got to throw the seeds out. He says, because the time is coming. Can I tell you that there has been releases of revelation over the years and over the years, another release of revelation, another release of revelation. Today, I believe the release of revelation is that you have nothing to fear. Death cannot come upon you. Might have been a year. I'm not sure how long because I didn't write it down. But there, I went to see a young man at the hospital. And he had COVID. And he was on a ventilator. When I went to see him, he looked really bad. Really bad. And you know, how many of you know that God wants us? Hey, you walk by faith and not by what? I don't care what they look like. Amen? I don't care what they look like. Well, I walked in to the waiting room and his wife was there. And the Lord said this to me, you know what I've been teaching you? Speak that to her. And I go, how many of you can get dumb on God? What have you been teaching me? He said, talk to her about death. So when I went to her, I said, listen, because I had talked to her husband about it. And he said this to me, he says, well, Henry, he goes, He goes, I'm just going to have to look into that because I don't know if I believe that or not. And I said, well, that's okay. Look into it. That's what he told me. But when I went in, he said, talk to her about death. So I told her all those things. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So if the law of sin and death is clear from you, what? And she's looking at me like, are you crazy? I said, look, you are one with your husband. How many say amen to that? You people that get married, they're one. So I said, you're one with your husband. You need to go and speak these words over him. You take authority over death on her, on him. She goes, will you come with me? Yeah, we'll both go. But you have to believe it, that you're taking authority over this thing. They went in there. Hey, he come out of there, and he's bought a new house, and he's doing other stuff now. It happened just the other day. I went in to talk to somebody in the hospital, and the Lord said, speak to them what I've been telling you. See, folks, it takes a seeding. The seeds have to be sown. Now, these seeds feel weird. How many can say amen to that? These seeds feel weird because we are so accustomed of walking with death where God is saying, no, I need you to push it aside. Just like you saw Becca push me. She almost knocked me down. You need to begin to push it aside because it has no part of this kingdom. We have no problem saying, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have no problem telling them, hey, there's no sickness in heaven. How many of you have said that before? Hey, there's no, well, guess what? There's no death in heaven either. How many say that? So this is what the Lord is saying. The kingdom walks in everything that Jesus purchased. Can you say that? Can you say amen to that? Everything that he bought, it is in your hand. Is that okay? God's given it to you. Hallelujah. Ooh, come on. When this scene becomes a revelation, man, to the body of Christ in the earth, we're going to see some stuff. How many say amen to that? How many are ready to see some stuff? Yeah, pick up your right knee and say stuff. Yeah, come on. Give me some stuff, Lord. I'll tell you what, because dominion is coming. Every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. See, this world is headed somewhere. How many say amen to that? Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Romans 6, 22 and 23, I've already said this. But now being made free from sin. How many are free from sin? Five. Anybody awake? I am free from sin, but now being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have fruit, your fruit unto holiness and to the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. Poof. But the gift of God is eternal life. Christ Jesus our Lord. How many of you are tired of just religious stuff in the earth? Does nothing for us. Is that right? Hasn't been doing anything for us. It seems like we're in the same place, just going around and around and around where the Holy Spirit is saying, nope, time's changing. Kingdom of God is pushing into the earth. Get ready or get out. How many say amen to that? Woo, get ready or get out because it's coming, bro. Hallelujah. Will you stand? Come on. Hallelujah. Brother Abe, really working this guy. Where you at, brother? Glory to God. How many are glad that Jesus died for you? How many are so thankful? Amen. Happy Mother's Day to all of you ladies. Even if you don't have kids, I'm sure you've ministered to some kids, some young men or women that you might say, these are like kids to me. I love them. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you for coming this morning. Thank you for listening. And Abe's going to close you out. Thank you, brother. You're a good man. Thank you.
So I know if it wasn't for some mothers, I wouldn't be here. Well, obvious. I mean, you know. But I mean, here in church, okay? Be somebody that's actually speaking at the end of a service. to be somebody who's actually giving sermons, being a youth leader. From what I can remember, it all started with my grandma. Like the faith that lady had, wow. She would always pray, and then guess what? After she prayed, she would believe whatever she prayed for was going to happen. And you know what happened? It always happened. Yeah. even when it looked dark, she would say, "The wind blew and I stood firm." She'd always say that. And then my mom, she got that from my grandma. She knows how to believe, how to stand on God's word. She knows that you know, when God promises something, it's going to happen. And I know that, you know, my son, I'm so lucky that my wife gets to stay home with him, that he's also going to grow up. And he's going to be a mighty man of God one day. So don't underestimate your influence if you're a mother. It's important. And what Pastor was saying about, just don't believe him, right? Go to the scripture, see it. I mean, it even states in the book of Acts, it talks about when they're going around spreading the gospel, Jesus Christ. And it says in Thessalonica, a few people believed and were, you know, became believers. And, it, you know, some of them were jealous. But then, it said that the Berean Jews were of more noble character, because not only did they take the message with eagerness and joy, but they also went back and they searched the scriptures, and it said daily, to see if what they said was true. And they found out it was true, and many people believed. So let me just encourage you that whenever you hear anything from anybody concerning scripture, you go to that scripture and you read for yourself and see if it's true. Because you have the Holy Spirit within you. If there's not something you understand, the Holy Spirit will help you understand it. But you have to put in the work. So, if you would, are your heads with me? Lord, thank you for your word, for this church and your people. Thank you for our mothers, Lord. Bless them all. Not only this day, but in the days coming ahead. And God, I just ask that this word today, you plant a seed in their heart. One that they want to look further into and investigate. That it becomes a revelation to them as well. What is right and what is true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good week. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.